Ready? Woo!
Let's get it started in here.
I'll get that up there. Young world, young world. Welcome once again. We're at Adjuster Radio now. You are live. We're talking sports with the 12 men. I love it. I love it. I love it.
Oh, yeah.
It's truly
oh, yeah.
Andre Peterson. Log it in. The option quarterback passes to your friend, Robert Ford.
What's going
Wednesday.
On, America?
What's going on? How you guys doing? Today is Wednesday, December the 14th, and once again, you are locked into Talking Sports with the 12th Man. Robert Ford, how are you doing this evening?
Doing fantastic. We've got breaking news coming out of the NBA tonight concerning my New Orleans Hornets here.
Did they actually execute that trade? What's going on? Go ahead and fill us in.
The trade is official. It's signed off, and Chris Paul is officially a Los Angeles Clipper. Going out
Whoa,
there to play with
Clipper.
Blake Griffin and Chauncey Billups and Caron Butler and DeAndre Jordan. Got a nice little team there, and, you know, possibly may even be able to contend with the Lakers in their own city. And, the Hornets are getting Eric Gordon in return, Chris Kamen, and Afariq Aminu. And first-round pick from Minnesota. So I guess if you're a Hornet fan, we got to be rooting for the Timberwolves to suck this year. So
wow.
We can get get that first pick in the draft.
Wow. Well, this is pretty much breaking news. So and obviously Robert Ford is a Hornets fan. So how do you feel if you're breaking this down? Obviously I'm happy because not to hate on the Lakers fans, but you know, the rich keep getting richer, so I'm actually going to be a Clipper fan, if you will. But how do you feel if you would analyze the trade for both parties?
Well, I mean, obviously, I think the Clippers are getting a franchise player here, so I think this instantly makes them a real contender. And it's a no-brainer move for them. I mean, I think they're getting a franchise player. I think it instantly, brings them to a credible status, and it could easily be, like I said, a contender out in the Western Conference. Not saying they're going to win a championship or anything, but Chris Paul just makes everybody else better. And so you bring in a guy, you know, is going to, you know, take Blake Griffin's game to another level, DeAndre Jordan's game to another level, and, you know, Caron Butler. So he's going to instantly make that team a lot better. And
Do you think he's going to be healthy enough for the season, too? As I didn't mean to cut you off there, but do you think he's going to be healthy enough, you think, for the season, or what's going on with that as well?
That Chris Paul?
Yeah, Chris Paul, correct, uh-huh.
Oh, yes, yeah, just no injuries right now with Chris Paul. He's completely healthy. Yeah,
okay.
He finished the season strong last year, and so definitely makes them a better team. I think if you're a New Orleans Hornets fan with this trade, I think the trade that the Hornets had with the Lakers on last week, would have been better now with that roster, with Kevin Martin and Luis Scola and Lamar Odom. And I think the Hornets would still be a playoff team if they would have executed that trade last week. With this team, I'm not quite sure the Hornets are a playoff team with this trade, but I think it sets them up quite well for the future. And so they might be a little bit better off for the future with this trade, but just maybe not as good in the current as they would have been with the trade on last week. So obviously the Hornets still has to make a few more moves to fill out their roster. And, other news in the NBA, Dwight Howard, I don't know if you heard the news, but Orlando has officially decided that they're not going to trade him. So
yeah,
they're going to take their chances.
And
try to keep him and try to see if they can build a winner with him in Orlando. Obviously, he's going to be a free agent after the season, so he can still potentially walk. But I think Orlando is going to try to see if they can put some pieces with him and see if they can convince him to stay in Orlando. And so it looks like they're going to take their chances with that move and see where that goes as well. I mean, then you have Lamar Odom, as you know, going to Dallas. And, you know, the Mavericks have some nice pieces at the forward position now with Amar Odom and Dirk Nowitzki, Sean Marion. They got some interchangeable parts there at the forward position. They lose Tyson Chandler at the center position, so not quite sure how to fill that void. And they lose J.J. Barrera to Minnesota. And so so they did lose a few pieces, so even with, you know, gaining Lamar Odom. So, you know, just a little bit of a player movement going on in the NBA. And Nene re-signing with Denver, so that keeps them, you know, right in the thick of things out in the West. And even your Hawks making a few moves there. Jerry Stackhouse, Tracy McGrady, some quality veterans, giving the Hawks some quality depth. And, you know, with Miami picking up Shane Battier and supposedly a new and improved and trim Eddie Curry is going to the Miami Heat. And so we'll have to see how that turns out.
And, So,
and there's still quite a bit of free agents out there. And a lot of these teams are getting ready to start and play preseason games. So, it's going to be weird. So many players still available. And they're getting ready to start some preseason basketball, if you will.
Yeah, very very good points. And I think, unfortunately, this has been a weird year because a lot of our favorite sports have been under a strike. So, and obviously we'll have to see how everything happens because I do think some time off has affected the NFL. I'm a big fan, obviously. It has shortened a little bit, and hopefully you got to see how everything plays with the NBA too, because I know we talked about this last week. That's, you know, obviously Kevin Garnett is saying, you know, not having those extra games and extra time to get in there kind of affects, you know, the chemistry, if you will, some new players and some new teams. So it's going to be some rough games coming out the stretch, but obviously, you know, we're fans, we're looking forward to it, and we'll see how that plays out. Just kind of like piggybacking on what you're talking about with a lot of the trades, and you know, obviously Blake Griffin's game is going to elevate instantly. Having a dynamic point guard as Chris Paul, and you know, definitely, I'm sure the LA Lakers are pretty upset that they couldn't consummate that deal. So I'm sure they're kind of upset. We'll see how they trade into their motivation. A lot of guys out there. Chauncey Billups is still out there. I want to say I think he's still on waivers. I know some people are trying to put a claim on him.
Oh no, Chauncey Billups was claimed by the Clippers.
Is he claimed by the Clippers? Wow. Okay. So
So you're looking at the Clippers are possibly looking at moving Chauncey Billups to two guard and starting Chris Paul at the point. And so that's been some talk going out there. You know, you still got Eric Bledsoe and Mo Williams over there too. So they have a little bit of depth still too at the point guard position. But obviously, I mean, that is Chris Paul's job as a starter there.
Yeah, so that if I'm the Clippers, I'm thinking that I have some opportunities to make some moves too. And no longer are the Clippers going to be kind of the laughing stock, if you will, of the NBA. I know they've been kind of everyone likes to pick them apart for some bad moves as far as back in the day. But, you know, Blake Griffin has pretty much been as advertised, and so you're kind of adding some credibility to Chris Paul. So. Yeah, they're definitely going to be a team to reckon with out in the West.
Yes, there's no doubt about that. No doubt about that. And as we move on our show, I know our time gets behind us pretty quickly here. We'll move on to a little bit of college football. As America already knows, Robert Griffin III, the Heisman winner. Congratulations to him. Seems to be
Woo-hoo!
A very quality young man. And you're talking about a guy who's improved his draft stock tremendously. I mean, going into the season, most draft experts looked at him as a third-round pick, and now he's considered to be a top-10 pick if he comes out of this year's draft. And this is a pretty deep quarterback class if all these guys come out. You know, I know there's some talk about Matt Barkley is have a tough decision because USC feels real strongly if he comes back next year, and with them being off probation, they have a quality shot at competing for a national championship. And so they're really trying to convince him to stay. But, you know, it's hard to tell a guy that when he can be a top five or top 10 pick. And so Matt Barkley's got a tough decision. He has not had the opportunity to play in a bowl game with USC being on probation, thanks to Reggie Bush. And, you know, if he comes back to school, he'll have an opportunity to play in a bowl game next year or even, like I said, compete for a national championship. So it's, you know, should be interesting. And,
yeah,
you know, even Charlie White's going to Kansas. What do you think about that?
You know, if you're a Florida fan, I'm sure you're pretty upset, not only with the Urban Meyer, but now your offensive coordinator, Charlie White. So, you know, it could be a blessing in disguise. It's happened a lot this year with a lot of teams. You know, the thing about that Charlie White, I was reading an article about him. He's kind of had a whirlwind introduction at Kansas, and I think he's reached out to a lot of players in Florida that weren't offered a scholarship. So, you know, we'll see if he can actually get those players to come to a place like Kansas. I mean, obviously, you know, he's definitely got an uphill battle ahead of him. But, you know, like I said, he's got that pedigree of having good quarterbacks. So we'll see what he can do. And I know he's getting a staff together as well. It's pretty interesting. So, you know, at this juncture, I'm still not happy with how he did Notre Dame. So I'm still not a fan, if you will. But you can't deny he's a good coach. But, you know, he's got a tough road ahead of him.
Yes, most certainly do. Well, certainly do. Now, Mark Mangini, he was pretty successful there in Kansas and brought a high-power passing offense there. So, yeah, Charlie Weiss is definitely going to have to be successful in a recruiting area and, you know, finding a quarterback who can run a pro-style offense for him to convince him to come to Kansas. But the selling point that he has is that, you know, he's a Super Bowl champion, offensive coordinator in the NFL. If he can go to somebody's living room and convince them that he can get them to the NFL, you know, he may be able to get, you know, some high-quality pro-style quarterbacks out of high school to come play for him in Kansas. So, you know, that's the selling point he has. A lot of coaching news in college football. We got Jim Moore Jr., someone who you're quite familiar with, going to UCLA. Going to try to turn that program around. You know, they're in a talent-rich area, but they seem to always come a second or second to USC when it comes to recruiting in that Los Angeles area. And you're talking about another guy who's got an NFL pedigree. You know, you wonder if he can convince some of those guys to come play for him and if he can get them to the NFL. I don't know what your thoughts are on Jim Moore Jr. from your time following him with the Falcons.
Yeah, you know, I'm not really sure what to think about Jim Moore Jr. because, you know, certain guys have a certain – you know, stigma about them. You know, obviously Charlie Weiss, he's an offensive guy, if you will. You know, I'm not really sure what you say about Jim Moore. I mean, obviously he's coached defense, whenever he was in the NFL, so he's kind of made his hay as a defensive, you know, coordinator and kind of coach, if you will. So I'm not really sure what he's going to do with UCLA. His biggest move, and I think his greatest move, is going to be who's going to be that offensive coordinator. Are they going to have a pro-style office? I'm sure they probably are. With a lot of the talent they're going to have, because obviously USC can't get everybody. But it's a very interesting scenario, you know, why UCLA picked up Jim Moore Jr. Obviously, if you are a player or if you're a recruit, you're looking at that, the fact that he can help him get to the NFL, which is kind of what everyone wants to do nowadays. But, you know, like I said, I'm not quite sure what top of the style he's going to bring that particular team, so I'm kind of curious to see how that plays out. So, you know, he's a player's coach, obviously. He's got a lot of connections, and he knows a lot of people, too. So, you know, I'm not saying he's not going to be successful. I'm just kind of figuring out what type of style he's going to have. Is he going to be kind of like a Jim Harbaugh? Is he going to be kind of like, Charlie Weiss? We don't really know what type of style he's going to bring. So I'm curious to see how that plays out.
Yes, most definitely. It should be interesting. Well, we have about 5 bowl games that's going to be taking place starting this Saturday before our next show. Well, they may not be the most exciting bowl matchups, but we're going to try to cover a few of them anyway. We got the New Mexico Bowl here, Temple at Wyoming. I tell you, that's going to be a barn burner. And I'm going to pick Wyoming in that matchup.
Wow, that's interesting because it looks like obviously they've got a running back, Bernard Pierce. He's been on a pretty good pace here. I think he's got, like, 25 rushing touchdowns or something like that, if I'm looking at that correctly, which is third in the nation. So, you know, we'll see how that plays out. You know, Wyoming, you know, he kind of – they don't rank that good as far as the rushing defense. They kind of allow a lot of yards per game. I may have to go get you and pick Temple in this game. So we'll see how
okay,
that plays
all right.
out.
Well, we're going against each other in that that matchup here. We got the Idaho Potato Bowl. Ohio
wow.
at Utah State. I'm going with Ohio.
Yeah, no doubt about that. I think Ohio's gonna do that as well too. It's gonna be interesting. I think that they got some pretty hot quarterback and running back play. So I think their running back was the WAC player of the year. So I'm going with Ohio as well.
Then we have right here in the Big Easy, the R&L New Orleans Carriers Bowl. San
Raging
Diego
Cajuns,
State.
Is that it?
Yeah, the Louisiana Lafayette Raging Cajuns playing only about an hour and 45 minutes away from their campus. I hear they're going to have a huge crowd in the Big Easy. I'm going to go with Louisiana Lafayette. Maybe they have a little home field advantage in this game.
Yeah, I think so, too. As much as we like San Diego State putting up some numbers here, but I think the home cooking is going to prevail, and I think your Raging Cajuns are going to get a chance to pull that one out. So, I'm in full agreement with you.
St. Petersburg Bowl, Florida International at Marshall. Marshall's ball club 6-6, just barely making it to a bowl. I'm going to go with Florida International here.
Interesting. That's not the Beef or Brady's Bowl anymore, is it? Or is it definitely, I thought it was the Beef or Brady's Bowl too. But, you know what's interesting about that? The Thunder and Herd have a lot of Florida bred players, but, obviously I think, Florida International, they've got some senior quarterback. I think they've got, T.Y. Hilton or something like that. Or, Wesley Carroll, excuse me. So I think Florida International is going to pull it out, definitely, like you said. So, yeah.
Last but not least, probably the best bowl game here in the next week, the San Diego County Credit Bowl. You got TCU, champions of the Mountain West, against Louisiana Tech, champions of the WAC Conference. I'm from Louisiana, but I'm going to pick TCU right here. Definitely think they're the better ball club. And right down there in San Diego, I'm going to pick TCU to beat Louisiana Tech.
Yeah, TCU is probably going to pull that one out. So they've always had a pretty high-powered offense, so I'm going to stay that way and go towards TCU as well.
All right, fantastic. I don't know, we got about 13 minutes left in the show. I don't know if we want to give them a recap or call in. And then maybe we can talk about some of these NFL coaching firings and then kind of, recap last week and preview some big games this weekend.
That's correct, yes, for those wanting to call in. Don't forget, and, obviously any tweets or anything, just Facebook posts, let us know. The number to call in is 424-243-9519. And, of course, Talking Sports, 12-man, Robert Ford, Andre Peterson. So, yeah.
Come on, people, send us some questions. You got some sports geniuses here, particularly myself.
I love it. Yeah,
just joking. We got some interesting firings here. A week or two ago, we had Jack Del Rio getting fired in Jacksonville. There's not too many rumors that are linked to that job just quite yet. They got a new owner as well. But with Kansas City firing Todd Haley and with Miami firing Sperano, we got some rumors already linked to both of these jobs. It looked like Scott Pioli in Kansas City wants to hire somebody that he's had ties going back to his New England days. And so Romeo Crennel is taking over as interim head coach. And he's going to – seems like he's going to give Crennel an opportunity to be the head coach. So after the season is over, he's already said Crennel is definitely going to be in the interviewing process to be the head coach. And he's also rumored to be looking at Josh McDaniels, who's currently the offensive coordinator for the Rams. And he's also Kirk Ferentz, the head coach at Iowa. He's got some ties to Belichick in New England as well. So those are just some names that are kind of tied to the Kansas City job opening. In Miami, I'm hearing, is looking to make a splash. They want to go after somebody like a Bill Cowher, John Gruden, Bill Belichick, even a Marty Schottenheimer. And check this out. Another name is being rumored to be linked to Miami, who Miami may want to consider, Les Miles.
Wow.
So I don't know what you comment on now. Les Miles has come out and adamantly said he has no interest in a job. So, I mean, he's totally concentrating on national championship game. But those are just some of the names that have been linked to these two jobs. I don't know what your thoughts on those and which direction you think these teams should go.
Wow. You know, definitely first talking about Kansas City, I think it is interesting. I was a fan of Romeo Crennel. He had a lot of his staff were Cleveland, and sometimes you never know. The second time around, I think you have opportunity to kind of learn from your mistakes. And I do think he'll be a better coach the second time if they do decide to go that route. Very surprised about Josh McDaniels. I don't know about that one. I think he's kind of young. Give him some more time because what happened with Denver. We'll talk about Tebow a little bit later, but, you know, I don't think he's quite ready, if you will. And regarding Miami, you know, that's always been an interesting job. You know, from the Nick Sabans of the world that had opportunity there, and now trying to go after Les Miles. You know, I think they need some stability. So I think Martin Schottenheimer is a great name. I know some people will talk about retreads, but can't deny that he's built some winning programs. You may argue he may not be able to get to the big game, especially if you're San Diego, but, you know, having somebody there that can kind of put a good stamp on that organization and kind of get them back to winning consistently, I think you can't go wrong with that. And I know they keep trying to get these splashy names, but at the end, you know, Nick Saban, he ended up going back to Alabama, and I don't think you want to do anything like that. I think you want to get somebody that's going to be a good stabilizing force and kind of get that team back to winning and kind of be solid, if you will. So that's my thoughts on it, if you will.
Yeah, and out of those names you just mentioned, Bill Cowher, he's also one that's come out and said that he has no interest in being a head coach next year. So it sounds like he still wants to continue to take some time off. And, of course, Les Miles, Adam Lee, you know, saying he has no interest in the job. So out of those names from Miami, I would say the guy you want to look to is probably Brian Billick. You know, he may be a candidate you may want to look to. John Gruden just signed a 5-year deal with ESPN. Even though, I mean, you know, contracts are made to be broken, so if he has some interest, he can easily come out. But I think a guy you may want to look to in that situation could be Brian Billick, and it should be interesting with Kansas City. Ferentz of Iowa, he's been the guy that a lot of NFL teams have been wanting to hire. You know, he's got an NFL background, and so it'll be interesting. A lot of people saying this may be the closest to him saying yes to an NFL job, and plus, you know, with Kansas City being not too far from Iowa, he gets to stay in the same region. It could be a little enticing to him. Another coach is kind of on the hot seat. Well, a couple of coaches that are kind of on the hot seat right now. It looks like Norv Turner would definitely be fired at the end of the year. And there's some talk going on about Raheem Morris possibly being out at the end of the year. So those are just a couple of names out there. We got 3 more weeks left in the season. And so we have to pay close attention to that. Most people in San Diego are already reporting that Norv Turner is a done deal. He will be fired. They're just going to let him coach out the season. And so that should be quite interesting, and a team that still has quite a bit of talent on it as well. And
amazing.
Yeah, I mean, still have some, definitely have playoff caliber talent on that team. And I know we have a little bit over 5 minutes to go, and we do a quick little recap of last weekend in the NFL, and we got 3 big games in the NFL this coming up weekend. Maybe we can tap into really quickly. And what can you say about Green Bay? They just keep on rolling, 13-0. And we may have an undefeated team and a winless team this year. If Green Bay goes undefeated and the Colts go winless, should be real interesting in the same season. And, of course, your Falcons have a big comeback win over Carolina on the road to come back and win that game. My Saints pull out a nail biter on the road at Tennessee. And things are just rolling along. San Francisco gets upset at home, or actually on the road at Arizona. So that was Houston winning with a third-string quarterback on the road, T.J. Yates. I mean, I tell you, in my opinion, Gary Kubiak is the coach of the year in the NFL this year, but that's just my opinion. I know Jim Harbaugh will give him some competition, but in my opinion, it's Gary Kubiak all the way with all the injuries that they've had to deal with this season.
Yeah, so real quick, and I know hopefully we'll have a chance to talk about this next week too, because I do want to talk about, you know, some impact too as far as, you know, what difference we would have had if certain quarterbacks would have stayed and would have gone, if you will, how that affected if you kind of look back too. But, you know, just to kind of tap into what you're talking about too as far as with some NFL, I'm sure that the 49ers are going to be very mad, so they're going to be prepared to play coming up too. So, you know, it was definitely interesting to see the Falcons make their comebacks, and Jake Lockhart is definitely impressing me. So we have a very impressive class of young quarterbacks from Andy Dalton, from Christian Ponder, coming in and kind of doing their thing. So and it's kind of due to a lot of guys just saying, hey, turn over the keys to some young quarterbacks and kind of see what they're going to do. So it's very interesting to see how that plays out. And
The one I have not seen a lot out of just yet is Blaine Gabbert. And I guess we're still early, but you can see it in Cam Newton. You can see the potential in Jake Locker. You can see it in Ponder. You can definitely see it in Dalton. But Gabbert has not shown, he's only completed about 40-something% of his passes so far this year. You're not seeing it just yet with him. So, I mean, it's definitely not time to throw in the towel on him. You know, it's just his first year. Not saying he's not going to be a good quarterback, but I would say out of the rookie quarterbacks that were drafted pretty high, he's the one that I haven't really seen the potential for greatness yet. And but like I said, it's still early in this case, and he's still got time to correct that, if you will.
Yeah. And you know, it's interesting about that, too, if I can piggyback that, because remember whenever we were first talking about this in the draft, everyone said that he was the most NFL-ready quarterback, and he was going to be the most successful, you know. And everyone's saying that Cam Newton was kind of like, who knew how Cam Newton was going to develop. And it's kind of interesting that Cam Newton has kind of had a more successful rookie campaign as opposed to Blaine Gabbert. And I don't know if that's due to the system or it's due to some other factors. But, you know, if you switch teams, you know, I definitely think that, you know, who knows. I think, you know, Jacksonville would be probably better with, you know, Cam Newton. I'm not sure that you can say the same case about the Carolina Panthers, but, you know, definitely it's still early, and we're not saying he's a bust by any means, but it's just interesting to say what a lot of the draft experts said about how this quarterback was going to fare in the NFL. And obviously our guys are kind of like, especially Tebow, I'm proud to say that he's kind of doing his thing, you know?
Yeah, so we're going to get into Tebow here in just a minute here as well. And but, yeah, we
got
to
– You can't escape it, America.
Let's see. We got a couple of matchups in the NFL this weekend. We're paired with two teams with winning records. We're going to start off with Detroit going on the road at Oakland. Detroit 8-5. Oakland 7-6. Detroit right now, the season ended today, will be the number 6 seed in the playoffs. Going on the road at Oakland. Who are you liking that matchup?
I like Detroit. They're going to keep the ball rolling, if you will.
Yeah, I'm kind of leaning toward Detroit now. I think initially I was thinking more Oakland, just them getting back on at home and maybe getting a chance to settle down a little bit. But I think Detroit, they're getting Ndamukong and Sue back. I just think they're the better team. And so even with that game being in Oakland, I like Detroit to go on the road and get that win and continue to try to hold a solid playoff spot down for them as a wild card. And the big game that everyone's talking about, New England at Denver, Brady at Tebow.
Ooh.
Does Tebow magic rise again, or does Brady just go there and just too much for New England? Who do you like in that match?
This is a tough game, and I'm going to lean towards New England, and this is why. I think that New England has the firepower to continue to put points up. Now, I don't think Tebow is going to be able to pass as much. You know, so this is where it's going to be his Achilles heel. Now, it's going to be tough because New England has no defense whatsoever. So it's kind of one of those things. And you know what's funny? I'm hearing my wife, Marcia, yell out Tebow in the background over there, too. So she's probably
yeah,
the show right now.
She's the number one Tebow
but
fan.
It's funny. I'm kind of torn about this, Rob, because I'm kind of thinking Tebow's going to pull it out. 10 seconds, Rob.
Yeah.
What do you think, man? We got to wrap this up.
Yeah, I'm going to we got one more game to get to real quick. I'm going to say New England, and then the Monday night matchup, we got Pittsburgh at San Francisco. Roethlisberger may be questionable, or if he does play, he may be limping. As a Saints fan, we need Pittsburgh to win this game. But I'm thinking with San Fran being at home, Roethlisberger, a little gimpy, Harrison suspended, I'm going to actually pick San Fran to win this game.
Yeah, I think San Fran's going to win. I think San Fran was mad about that Arizona loss, so they're going to come out with a vengeance and pretty much stick it to them. So that's my prediction. So there you go.
All
like
right.
I said, you know what? Like I said, Rob, it always cuts us off like right at like 10 seconds. So the last one was it wasn't added. So you know, that's why I said. So it got in your New England there, but you know, it cut it off. But you know, they don't play, like I said, they don't play around because I'm sure they got other shows that are coming back to back too. So we'll have to wrap that up. So you got the 10 seconds on your side too, right? Never says 10 seconds and stuff like that.
No,
that,
I don't get that on
mine.
Mm-mm.
Okay,
I got on the host. Yeah.
Okay, so you'll hear it next week. I should have, like, I'll keep track of that whenever it's, like, 10 minutes down or 2 minutes or something like that, because it'll say 90 seconds, and I'll say, all right, I'll have to say 90 seconds, let you know, too, because that goes by a lot quicker than I'm sure we expect. So, yeah, there you go. Marcy, listening, what did Marcy think?
I liked it. I was saying that we'll either have, what is it, the winning season with Green Bay and the Colts.
With the losing season. Marcy liked that. Okay, she liked the analogy. She liked that. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, we might have a team go 16-0 and a team that go 0-16 in the same.
Well,
that'll
be the first time. Yeah, I think that'll be the first time in NFL history that something like that happens.
Yeah, but you know, Green Bay went 16-0 a few years ago. I know Detroit went 0-16 a few years ago. I have to see if that happened in the same year.
I don't think it was the same year because it would have actually been as you know, they would have said something about that. They would have said, you know, they would have been headlines about that. So, you know, but anyway, good show, sir.
Yeah.
Good show, man, as always.
Oh yeah, sorry we had to. You know, kind of go over a few of those sucky bowls, but but they'll get better every week at the bowl matchups. Hello?
Okay. No, I like it, man. No, you sure? No, I think that's fine, man. Seriously, don't worry about it. You know, we have to definitely hit everything. So I think that just shows you that we're complete sports hosts, man. You talk about all the bowls, man. Who knows if there's a
Yeah, we definitely needed it to fill the time, as you can see.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like I said, it sucks because, you know, we get a chance to talk about everything, but, you know, I think it's good, man. You know, you may have some Thundering Herd fans out there or Ohio fans. You never know, man. So you got to get all
We squeezed in a lot in 30 minutes, man. We talk about new college coaches. We talk NFL coaching carousel.
Uh-huh.
We talked about the Heisman briefly. We talked about NFL draft prospects, quarterbacks briefly. We talked about NBA player movement.
Yep.
Previewed some bowl games. We talked about some the key NFL matchups. So, yeah, we got a lot in 30 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like I said, that's the cool thing. I mean, you know, it does – you're always nervous if you're going to have enough to talk about. When I first get on the line, I'm like, man, we got like 20-something minutes. Like I said, it always flies by. It always seems to fly by. So, you know, that's the good thing about it. You know, you do a good job of setting it up, and, you know, I like it. Definitely like it. So next week, you know that I'm going to be in California. So you're going to have to remember the login and stuff like that, too. So let me know if you need – I would probably jump in there a little early to make sure that you get the password and stuff like that. I'll be able to call in from the road. But
you want me to log in and post, and then you –
Yep, just log in and you be the host, and I'll just have to. You call that 424 number, right? You call the number the call-in number. Okay, yeah. So I'll call the call-in number, and then you got to literally click on there. There's a little option in there that you have to click on it. It'll be blue. You have to click on it. There's like a little. I think it's like a little microphone that stands for muting me. So just keep me on, like I keep you on, and then you'll be good to go from there.
Okay.
If you don't hear
me,
then that's whenever you know that I'm. Yeah, if you don't hear me, then you'll know that I'm not on. So definitely, click in there, click on my studio. You know, give me a call ahead of time if you need me to kind of walk you through that, and then you know, make sure that I'm logged on, that you can hear me, so that way we can get the show on without any hiccups or anything like that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, we'll make it happen.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's it, man.
Make it
good
do
show,
do.
Man. I think we keep getting better, as always, I think. And we'll we'll keep tweaking it. And I have my little Sports Illustrated going, man, so I'm happy. First Sports Illustrated, all the bowl games on there, man. That's great. I'm going to keep reference to that. Tebow's on the cover, so you can't go wrong with that.
Oh, yeah.
Marcy keeps showing,
man,
Tebow in the background. It's awesome, you know, so what can you say?
Number one fan.
And like I said, you know, I'm we'll have to talk about that too next week, because I'm thinking, if we have time, and somebody made an interesting comment too about Aaron Rodgers. You know, it was his first playoff win last year as a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that surprising? His first playoff win, when obviously he takes them all the way to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And,
well, you know, last year was only his second time in the playoffs too.
Yeah, he got beat the first time whenever that game versus Arizona. Remember that?
Yeah, yeah. So last year was only his second time in the playoffs. And
yep.
If I'm not mistaken, last year was maybe his third year starting.
Yep, you're right. Yep. So, you know, he talked about hitting the right pieces at the right time, so you got to give him credit. But another thing I was going to talk about too, like, you know, you talked about Matt Barkley maybe not coming out, and I was thinking about Andrew Luck. Whenever you were talking about that, and I was like, man, Andrew Luck decided to stay, and, you know, I don't know if that's a good decision or a bad decision, but can you imagine if Andrew Luck would have came out this year? Obviously, he would have gone to Carolina. Then how would that have shook up everything? Where would have Cam Newton landed? Would he have landed at Jacksonville? Would he be landed at, you know, Tennessee? Who knows what would have happened, you know? I think that's an interesting thing as well. So you won't have to talk about that, but it's kind of some things to think about, obviously, so, you know.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Carolina would have definitely taken Andrew Luck if he was available last year.
Definitely, yep.
Hmm?
And you wonder how they would have been. I mean, like I said, I'm a fan of Cam, man, because I think everyone was kind of crapping on him. So I think that I'm happy that he's, like, kind of silencing all his critics, man. So, you know, I'm a fan. Hopefully he continues to get better. And he's even made some throws that, you know, everyone's like, wow, this guy definitely has it. So, you know, just contagious, and just that winning attitude, you know, very similar to Mr. Tebow, that you can definitely never underestimate. Every time I say Tebow, Marcy yells, Tebow. It's funny. I can't say Tebow without somebody yelling. It's pretty funny.
Yeah,
did
you
hear
about
that?
Buy her a Tebow jersey for Christmas, man. You heard me?
What'd you say?
You're going to have to buy her a Tebow jersey for Christmas.
He's just smiling. You know, that's a great question.
Wow. Yeah, that's a good one. I'm gonna surprise her with that one. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm glad she's not listening right now. So, but yeah, you'll hear that. That's definitely a must-have. That's just going to happen. Anyway,
oh, yeah.
All right, sir. Well, man, good show, man. Get out of here, man. We'll definitely talk. And like I said, next week, if you have any questions, give me a call. But I'll call in a little early to make sure that, you know, you're able to get in there and have any questions or vice versa. But, yeah.
Oh, I'm sure we'll touch bases before then. We'll kind of have to go over that again and make sure I get everything right.
Okay.
And
yeah,
go from there.
Good.
Don't forget about the fantasy basketball draft for Sunday morning at 11 a.m. I think 11 a.m.
Yeah. How long is that going to last?
Well, I don't. It probably should be about an hour to an hour and a half at the most, I would think. It looks like it's only going to be about 8 or 9 of us.
Okay.
So
yeah,
it won't be a full 12 people. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I may have to. I got a wedding that morning at 1, so I may have to literally log in and from the place and go from there. But we'll see. Okay.
All right, Chief. Well,
all right, we'll talk soon.
Yeah, we'll catch up in a few. All right.
All right.
All right.
Bye.